Welcome to Smart Finance 360, the podcast where money matters meet innovative thinking. Every week, we dive deep into the world of finance, exploring trends, debunking myths, and bringing you the latest insights from industry experts. Whether you're a seasoned investor, a financial newbie, or somewhere in between, this is your go-to source for becoming financially savvy. Welcome to another episode of Smart Finance 360, Your Mortgage and More. Today is specifically about mortgages, reverse mortgages. So we're going to go over what Jarrett says, proprietary product, and then we got the HECM. So let's first start with the HECM. Jarrett, yeah. Thanks for coming on and doing this about reverse mortgages, man.
Thanks for having me.
So first and foremost, what does HECM even stand for?
Good question. So HECM, Home Equity Conversion Mortgage.
What is that?
It's an FHA product. It's backed by HUD, the government, right? So this is the most common reverse mortgage that people, you know, refer to. When they say reverse mortgage, they're probably referring to a HECM. There's two types, like you mentioned. HECM, and then there's everything else like a proprietary product.
So with HECM, you said that's backed by HUD. Mm-hmm. What are, like, let's say I'm listening to this and, like, you know, what are the age requirements? Who could categorize to, you know, get a reverse mortgage through a HECM?
Yeah, good question. You said age requirement. Well, number one, at least one of the borrowers. So if there's a married couple, at least one of those individuals needs to be at least 62. The other one could be 30, but one has to be at least 62.
Gotcha. So one could be 62, the other one could be whatever age.
Yes.
What happens if the 62-year-old or whatever, let's say they become 70, uh-huh. and they die?
Yep. The 70-year-old passes away?
Yeah. What happens to that 30-year-old that's in the house?
That's now 40 or so?
Yeah.
So they continue to live in that home because they're—
Without payment.
If they were married when we got the reverse mortgage done. So gotcha. If they were married, then yes, they're protected under the non-recourse feature. To where that's why it's an amazing, you know, product for that borrower. Now they get to live in that home forever.
Tell me about the non-recourse features. What is that?
Non-recourse. It's like insurance, essentially, assuring that the borrower nor the heirs will ever owe more than the house is worth, right?
So the heirs too.
Yes, protects the heirs.
So what if, you know, what happened if the market does happen to just collapse or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where that insurance piece comes in, non-recourse.
Sweet.
Using like, you know, round numbers. Let's say the home is worth $400,000. So flip it. Say the home, the loan amount is $400,000 and the home value is only $200,000. We're in the hole $200,000. Just using
example, right?
You're underwater by $200,000. Well, that non-recourse feature comes into where there's now going to be insurance claim. Now, granted, you still don't have to worry about it. If you're living in that house and you have a loan amount that's $400,000 and the value of it is only $200,000, doesn't matter. You continue to live in that home. Now, when both borrowers pass away, and it's given over to the heirs, and the heirs have to deal with this, the heirs aren't going to worry about that $200,000 deficit either. They're going to say, hey, deed in lieu of foreclosure, here you go, lender, servicer, figure this out. They sign it over to the lender. Now the lender sells the house for $200,000 because that's all that it's worth.
Yeah.
And then they file an insurance claim for that difference of $200,000, but the heirs don't have to worry about it.
It's still amazing.
It's an incredible deal. Now, granted, that's very rare. I used a massively exact—
That's if, like, there was a massive crash. I just like to say, you know, insurance, right?
Yes, it's insurance.
The worst. So that's cool. Go back to, you know, that other spouse. Let's say the spouse passes away that qualified for that reverse mortgage. Mm. They, as long as they were married at the time, they can live in that house and not have to make payments until they die, right?
That's correct.
But what if they get remarried or something?
Yeah. So there's special circumstances where, you know, if we want to look at getting remarried, it's, you know, typically on a case-by-case basis, but that individual, they can continue to remain in that home until they, you know, pass away or they want to sell the house. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in that scenario, maybe they're going to sell the house and go purchase another home with the new, you know, spouse that they're getting married to, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of different ways that you can do that.
So we used kind of a, I would say an extreme if there was a crash. Let's say trajectory of what things are actually happening, where it's up to 4 or 5% per year, things are appraising and getting better.
Appreciation.
So what happens with that on a non-recourse loan where you get your reverse mortgage out when you're 62, you die when you're 100, but you didn't make payments for close to 40 years. So what happens to the heirs? What does that look like? What do they get to deal with? What do they get to net? Let's kind of talk about specifics there.
Yeah, loaded question for one. Nice try.
Yeah, it's a rad question, I know.
Well, but in reality, I mean, I was just doing this today. I was on a Zoom call with a realtor explaining this to her. We're going over her client's situation down in Texas, and I showed them that if we paid off their loan of $84,000 that they currently have on a conventional loan. We paid that off. We got them $30,000 at closing that they could pay off all their high interest rate credit card debt. So it's almost like, think of it like a cash out. Mm-hmm. So we pulled cash out of their home, paid off all their high interest rate credit card debt. So between paying off their conventional loan of $4,000 and their debt of all this high interest rate credit card. The combo between those two monthly payments was $3,200 that we freed up in monthly cash flow for them, okay? Why I say this is not only was that life-changing, but then they had, you know, a bigger loan amount now. It was like $124,000, something like that, right, of a loan amount that they had on their home. That loan amount, even after 36 years of not making a payment, they still are projected to have, you know, between $240,000 and $255,000 of equity, meaning when they sell the house, or when they, let's say both parents pass away and now it's passed down to the heirs of the kids, the heirs then get to sell the house, pay off the loan, and the difference between what they sold it for and what they paid back to the lender, the servicer, is the equity that they now keep, or that sale
process. Still get equity.
Yeah. So they still had $250,000 after 36 years.
I mean, I think it's probably, in my personal opinion, probably one of the most life-changing products out there. I mean, if you're 62 and older, I like the HECM a lot just because it is insured, just in case something does happen, right?
Right.
And being able to free up $3,200 a month for someone, maybe people on fixed income as well, like let's say their mortgage and, you know, maybe some Social Security is not really cutting it for them. They got a lot of debt because the fixed income at that point, they're not bringing in more income. This, you know, deal to not have to worry about your mortgage payment, that's pretty incredible, I think.
Plus other debts too. I mean, that's the case in theirs. They had Social Security income only, so they're trying to pay a mortgage plus all this high interest rate credit card debt that had massive amounts of monthly payments. So freeing up $3,200, I mean, $3,200 every month was huge. There's a lot of tears shed on that one.
I mean, what's incredible about this product is why doesn't everyone do it? Everyone should. I want to do it.
Yeah. You're talking to reverse mortgage. You get personally reverse mortgage?
Too, yeah.
Yeah.
What, if hearing all this, yeah.
There's a lot to them, right? And I would say that I think everybody should know about them, and it's not everybody should get the one. And here's the caveat with that is I don't feel that they're a short-term product. For example, if you're going to buy a house with a reverse mortgage, that's awesome, but I don't want you paying it off in 6 months because there's a lot of upfront costs with reverse mortgages, or there can be, to where it might not make financial sense for you to do it short term. However, if you live in that house for a couple of years, yeah, it might make sense, or indefinitely, right? So similarly, for example, if you're old and decrepit, right, and you can't move around, and I'm just saying, you fell down the stairs and you can't move, and whatever it may be, you can't move around as easily as you did, and you come to me and you're saying, Jared, I'm ready for a reverse mortgage. I want to buy this townhouse. And I look at it, it's one of those townhouses that are squished like this, has like three or four flights of stairs in it. I'm going to tell you, that's not a good idea, right? Because you can't, unless you're going to put one of those robotic chairs in every single floor, it's not going to work, right? I want you to get maybe a Rambler, a ranch style house that's got main level living on it so that you're not moving up and down stairs, right? Those are those little things, those nuances that I, as a reverse mortgage specialist, want to look at for you. Because even though I get paid commission, it's not about that. It's making sure that I get you into the best product possible and making sure we strategize and structure that reverse so that it's a long-term financial situation for you.
Yeah, that's really cool. So it's just it's a great product, the HECM product.
Mm-hmm. Proprietary is good too. I mean,
talk about that.
There's the non-recourse on the proprietary.
Anything that's not HECM, this is not backed by HUD then, basically.
Correct. It's not, but there is still a non-recourse feature on it. There's still insurance put in place.
Only about this.
Still a non-recourse
product.
Yeah, so they're going to, obviously, there's no such thing as a free lunch. They're going to charge it. It's going to be higher in interest rates, right? So typically, now, a lot of people wonder, well, if the HECM product is so great, why would I ever go proprietary? That's the biggest reason. Well, you'd go proprietary typically when you're doing, you know, when the home appraises for higher than the limit, which currently today, as we're recording, this is $1,149,825. So I know I'm a nerd, but if you go higher than that in appraised value, you might want to start looking at the proprietary products because they allow for higher than that in the appraised value. Otherwise, on HECM, you're capped at that max value. So, you know, it might not make sense to go with a HECM when you have a $2 million condo or beach house or whatever it may be, home. You know, it might not make sense to go with the HECM, but it might make more sense to go with the proprietary product. And on the proprietary product still, There's that insurance put in place. You're still paying insurance. It's just baked into the rate. So the rates are going to be a little bit higher.
But you still get that non-recourse.
Absolutely.
Where you're protected.
Absolutely. Yes.
So there's still protection there. What other things that would be very different? Is there stuff that's besides the loan amounts? Is there anything?
Yeah. So there's currently, again, as the time that we're recording, there's just 20 states that allow the proprietary product to be done, which is another reverse mortgage, at 55 years old. So remember us talking about the HECM where you had to be 62.
This one you can be 55.
You can be 55 in 20 states. So again,
well,
reach out.
55 plus community, that might be a pretty cool product for them.
It's amazing. Yes, they can get into 55 plus community.
So proprietary, you know, HECM's FHA, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to be FHA approved in these communities. Can you do proprietary on places that aren't FHA approved?
You can, yeah. So, and we'll do, you know, similar like with spot approvals, right? Yeah. So it's still the proprietary products. They still tend to follow the FHA guides. They just still kind of piggyback off of the HECM rules and guidelines just because it's easy. They've already, you know, laid the roadmap, the guidelines, et cetera. So they kind of follow those. They just tend to have more overlays and rules and restrictions on it, you know, for proprietary reasons. I mean, that's their own money that they're giving out, right? It's not backed by HUD, so they get to make their own rules. But yeah, we can do spot approvals. If that, if the entire community is not approved, we can do single unit approvals.
But you have to have some sort of approval for proprietary.
Approval.
What I'm saying is this, you're in a condo community and it's not FHA approved. Can you do the proprietary product in that community?
Yes, if we can get a spot approval on that one unit, yes.
Okay, so it's not necessarily spot approval for the entire community like FHA would want.
Yeah, we can get spot based off that one unit.
Cool, and then if you said something you mentioned, not in this podcast, but with HECMs, you have to get what's called counseling. Can you kind of talk about the counseling piece?
Yeah, so you got to get counseling on any reverse mortgage. So if you're doing HECM or proprietary, you got to get counseling. And so obviously, I, as the specialist, I'm going to sit down with the borrower, we're going to do a Zoom, or I'm going to meet in person, and I'm going to share my screen, or again, go through a presentation with the potential clients, and I'm going to show them exactly, you know, the ins and outs of reverse mortgage and how it pertains and can benefit them. We're going to go over the pros. We're going to go over the potential cons. We're going to go through everything from top to bottom. Well, then what happens is when they want to proceed, I get them a proposal, and then they have to take that proposal to a counselor. This is a third-party counselor that I don't know who they are. I'm not legally allowed to steer them to one counselor or the other. They want to keep that completely separate and and third party, right? Not affiliated with me in any way, shape, or form. And it's just a counselor that is licensed and set up to go through these counseling sessions with these borrowers as well.
It protects the borrower, I think.
Protects everybody, protects me. It's an extra person telling in the same information that I've told them. Now they're doing it in just a different voice, essentially, to make sure that they really understand the ins and outs of reverse mortgage.
So they get that, what, like some sort of certificate afterwards and they can use and then go forward to use the reverse mortgage.
And I have to get a copy of that to show that they've actually done the counseling, and we send that in with the package. Absolutely. That counseling session probably only takes 45 minutes, so it's not long, you know?
So you can do, basically, you own your existing house, you would basically refinance it into a reverse mortgage.
Yep.
And then you can also sell your existing house and buy another house using a reverse mortgage. How does that work, the latter one?
Yeah, purchase. H4P is the most popular term. HECM for purchase, right? Gotcha. Again, coming back to a HECM loan. You can purchase with a proprietary product, but sticking on the HECM side of things, again, very simple. You sell your house, you use those proceeds. And I was running a scenario today where if a borrower wanted to purchase, it's like, for example, running some numbers, because it's always based off age and the home value and interest rates, depends on how much money they're going to have to put down, okay? But in this scenario, we had a 78-year-old borrower who was, let's say they sold their house and they netted $340 from the sale of their house. Well, now if they want to go purchase another house and have no mortgage payment on it with cash, they're only going to be able to purchase a $340,000 house, right?
Yeah.
Now there's no loan amount on there. Great. They paid for it free and clear, and they own it free and clear, but they now have no money left over from the sale of that house. If they wanted to use a reverse mortgage, they could take that same $340, apply it towards a purchase of the next home, but they could purchase now up to $600,000. You have a lot more purchasing power.
Gives you more purchase power.
Absolutely.
And then no payment.
And still no payment.
I'm doing it.
Yeah. So when you turn 62, we'll chat. Yeah.
I mean, that's a great... So you could probably, you know, hypothetically, be your dream house.
Yes.
Live your latter years.
There's a massive discount to it.
With no payment.
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
It is phenomenal.
There seems way more pros than cons on this, to be honest. I think... Why is this so misunderstood? Why is so many people so negative about this product when it really is, to me, seems like a huge positive? Like, I'm not seeing too much negatives here.
Yeah. So the negatives on this and all the negative connotations, the myths that are around with reverse mortgages in today's world, most of them, 9 out of 10 of them, are well-deserved because they were that way in the past. This is something I talked a lot about, is people were saying, hey, Jared, I heard that reverse mortgages are terrible, and I ask them, why? What did you hear? They're saying, well, I heard that you can get kicked out of your house, you can get foreclosed on. I heard when you go underwater, you have to pay it all back. That was the case before. There was a lot of rules and protections put in 2008 and some big ones put in 2013. And the biggest, you know, another one of my favorites actually is the non-boring spouse feature put in 2014. To kind of just break that down a little bit. Back in the day, let's hear me out on this. So I talked about that the age matters on a reverse mortgage, right? So the date of birth of the youngest borrower is what we're taking into consideration. For example, going back to our borrower A, who's, you know, 62, and then borrower B, who's 30.
Yeah.
Remember the scenario? We're going to use borrower B's, again, if they're married.
Yeah.
We're going to use borrower B's age for the calculations into the reverse mortgage. We're going to take their age into it because the lender wants to know, well, the borrower B that's 30, they're going to live until, if they're 100,
yeah,
they got 70 years left. They need to allocate and budget for that into that so that the loan amount can grow, and they don't they don't want the home going underwater. Mm-hmm. They're not a nonprofit, right? They want their money back, so they don't want the home going underwater either. So they're going to limit the amount that the borrowers can take if you have, you know, the younger you are, the less equity you're going to have access to. Let's put it that way. So where I was going with this was the non-borrowing spouse feature that came about in 2014 was due because in the past, before that, you'd have a lender, right? They would say, okay, you want a reverse mortgage, let's do it. You're married. And so you've got borrower A and borrower B. Borrower B is 30. Well, I have to take their age into consideration. But back in the day, I could say, let's just not count borrower B at all. Let's just go off borrower A's age.
Yeah.
Now we get you a lot more equity. But the problem is when borrower A passes away, now borrower B is like, well, now what? Because now the home's due and payable, right? Yeah. They have to refinance the house, purchase the house, sell the house, whatever it is.
Put another pickle.
Now they're toast because borrower B is like, well, I'd like to still live here. This is the house that I lived in, right? I'd like to continue remaining in here. This is still my home. But yet the lender would be like, well, perfect. You got to refinance it or purchase it or whatever. Well, they can't do that because they're on Social Security income, maybe a pension that was left over from borrower A. Bottom line is very unlikely that they're going to be able to afford the refinance or the purchase of that house. So they were kicked out or foreclosed on. And so now in 2014, there was, you know, for example, that's one of the rules of protections put in place that if you have two borrowers, two married individuals, and one's 62 and one was 30, now we can't separate them. I can't forget about borrower B. I have to consider their age into it because if borrower A passes away, borrower B now gets to live in that home indefinitely, right? And doesn't have to requalify, doesn't have to, you know, refinance or purchase the home. They continue to live in there as if nothing happened.
That's incredible. Now, one thing they will have to pay, I've been told, is taxes.
Yes.
So insurance and taxes, regardless, you have to pay the principal interest on the mortgage.
Yeah.
You definitely have to pay your taxes every year.
Absolutely. So you're going to continue to pay your property taxes. You're going to continue to pay your home insurance. If it's in an HOA, like a condo or any HOA, you're still going to have to pay those dues as well. Make sure those. And then the last thing that people forget about is keeping the home in good standing condition. They say, what does that mean? That means, you know, keeping the roof on there. If something, you know, it's like a windstorm comes through, blows off your roof. You need to put it back on, right? That's up to you to make sure that that's there. Because again, that's the asset. That's the collateral of the lender. They want to make sure that it's covered. And you also want a nice house. You know, you don't want a house that doesn't have
a cover. Yeah, for sure. That's cool. Well, this is a lot to pack in, but if you're looking to get a reverse mortgage and you're listening to this, I think this is a really good 101 to just kind of understand key things on this. So if you need to get a reverse mortgage, Jared is the man. He is the reverse mortgage specialist here.
Yeah.
And thanks for going over the difference between kind of the HECM and the proprietary product and just kind of the basics here. But this is really the gist of what you need to know before you talk to Jared. He'll get you set up with the counselor. You'll get your counseling, and then he'll have a great, you know, presentation for you. And he's licensed pretty much nationwide.
22 states, and our team's in 48.
Our team's in 48. So, but Jared, if he needs to get licensed in a state, he'll do what he can. So thanks, guys.
Okay, there it is.